I love Jesus' instruction to the disciples that when you go into a town, that you are to remain in one household and eat whatever is put down before you, but not to go from house to house. And the instructions are there because there is this intention that you will become part of the normal daily life of the community. Instead, you don't want to go from house to house, because then there would be the temptation that whenever you went to somebody's house anew, that they would be tempted to provide for you whatever the house specialty was. We all have the house specialty, right? You know, the one thing that you do better than anything else, the one thing that you want to make sure that everybody gets a chance to taste if they come to your house. Maybe you make the world's greatest pork barbecue, or maybe you just do lasagna like nobody's ever done lasagna before. So then the temptation would be for the disciples to go from house to house and sample whatever everybody's best was. He doesn't want them to do that. He wants them to go and to become an ordinary part of life in whatever household that they're in. And maybe for the first night, they're going to bring out their special fried chicken that is the best fried chicken you've ever had before in your life. But at some point next Thursday, they're going to serve you oatmeal for breakfast, because nobody's got time for breakfast today, and you're just going to then become a normal part of the life of that household. And so that is Jesus' direction to the 72 as they go out, is that they are to go into the villages and not to go as celebrities, but to go as people who are just looking to serve a particular purpose. And that is where we come down on today's gospel lesson: the importance of serving a purpose. I saw a documentary. I love documentaries. Documentaries are one of my favorite things to watch, because the longer you watch documentaries, the more you realize that you don't know a lot. You know, I like to think that I'm the sort of person who always wants to learn a new thing, and we live in a world where I'm thrilled to discover there's always a new thing to learn. I was watching a documentary on how you live a very, very long life, because who doesn't want to know that information? And they were following sections of the planet called blue zones. Blue zones are those parts of the world where people regularly live into their 90s or their hundreds. What makes a blue zone a blue zone? And they identified a lot of things. As a West Virginian, I was very thrilled to discover that most blue zones are in hilly or mountainous regions, because people have to do cardio just to walk up their driveway. If you're going from point A to point B, it's either uphill or downhill. So I think, well, you know, that I at least had that going for me growing up. But there are various different things they've discovered about people who live in these areas. And I loved the one blue zone that they discovered in Japan. Things that they discovered about the people who lived there, you would expect. You know, they lived on the seaside. They ate a lot of fresh seafood. Sure, okay. That could easily contribute to people living to be in their 90s and their 100s. They were in a part of Japan that doesn't get a lot of food that has been processed and brought in. It's still a very isolated community. And so a lot of what they eat is still very fresh. Well, I can see where that would significantly contribute to people's lifespans. That's really good. One of my favorite things, almost everybody in the community gardens. As a gardener, I was like, yes, good. I like to hear that. Gardening is going to make you live longer. Why is that? Well, there are a couple of good reasons. One, you're going to eat a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables right out of your own yard. And everybody who's ever gardened knows there's nothing like a tomato that you've walked outside, picked off the plant, taken inside, and sliced. It's the best thing in the world. But also, gardening is exercise. You don't really think about it that much unless you are out in 95 degree heat trying to pull weeds, and suddenly you're like, this is a lot of work. And there's the whole getting down and getting up and getting down and getting up and getting down and getting up. It turns out gardening is actually a really great low impact cardio sort of thing to do. So people who were gardening lived longer. But there was this one other thing about gardening this one very important point that made people live longer, and it was connected to the whole rest of this little Japanese community, and that is, you have to do it. You can't plant a garden and then shrug your shoulders and say, I hope it does well, I'll check up on it here in a couple of months. Your garden needs you. Your garden is going to require that you go out and do stuff in it. And I say this as somebody who was out in the heat yesterday watering my garden, because it is a bajillion degrees outside and it's not rained. And the plants don't like it when that happens. So you have to get up. You have to go. You have a reason for being out of bed. And that is a lot of what this community focused on. And that is the notion that every single person has a reason for being. That you're going to get out of bed in the morning and you're going to go check on your garden and you're going to weed it. You're going to go out and you're going to harvest it. You're going to see that it's been 1,000 degrees and your lettuce is all bolted and now it's bitter. But you think to yourself, well, at least the tomatoes are doing great. But the other thing is, in this community, there is an assumption that whatever career you have, you won't ever retire from. That you will step back into a role as mentor at some point, and that you will teach others what you have yourself learned throughout your life, but that you will never not have a purpose or function, and that there will never stop being a reason for you to exist. So between your garden and mentoring other people, everybody gets out of bed in the morning and says, I've got things to do. Because humans require purpose. Without purpose, we fall apart. If you look at the story of the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, kicked out of the Garden of Eden, sent out into the wilderness, what is it that God tells them to do? He says, I want you to go out and I want you to do these things. I want you to labor in the field. I want you to raise food. I want you to do these tasks. He gives Adam and Eve a purpose, a reason for existing. He assigns them a job. As parents, we do this for our children. We give them a reason for getting out of bed in the morning. And I got to tell you, during the summertime as a parent, that's an important thing to have for your kids. Otherwise, they will just kind of wilt a little bit and sit on the couch. So whether it's sending them to tennis lessons or just saying, take out the trash, you know, or this is your chores. As parents, we know that our children need to have a purpose, a reason, a function. Jesus arrives with a function. He arrives with a purpose for being on earth, and his purpose for being here among us is quite simple. Yes, he heals the sick. Yes, he casts out the demons. But that's not his purpose. Those are tools that he uses to accomplish his purpose, but that's not his purpose. His purpose is to announce that the kingdom of God has come near. That God is in their midst and that he is doing a great thing and to announce the good news of the thing that God is doing. So when he gathers the 72 and he says, I'm going to send you out into the world and I want you to do this thing by sharing my purpose. He's not just giving them a job. He's not just saying, now you've got to go do stuff. He's saying you get to do the things that I am doing. You get to have the same reason for existing that I have. You get to have my purpose. And they go out. And yes, he does have to give them specific instructions for fear that they will get distracted from his purpose. So he says things like, don't bounce from house to house trying to get everybody to fix you their favorite meal. Because he wants them to stay focused on their purpose of being in those communities, living with the people of those communities, and sharing in his purpose of expressing the fact that the kingdom of God has come near. So much so that he says, if the community rejects you, if no one will let you into their home, No one will listen to you. Everyone laughs at you, mocks you, hates you. Say to them still, even though I shake the dust of my feet off, still you should know my purpose is to tell you that the kingdom of God is coming near. Even to those communities that have rejected the word, he still tells the disciples to fulfill his purpose, which is now their purpose. And if we are to live functional lives as Christians, and our faith should do something, faith isn't just a trophy that we sit on our shelf and we pull it out regularly and look at it and say, hey, check it out, I've got a faith. No, no, no. Our faith is something that does something. It functions in a way. It makes things happen. Marvelous things happen. And that faith has to have a purpose if it is to move forward. And it's not changed. 2,000 years have gone by, and our purpose remains the same. We share in Christ's purpose. We share in the purpose of telling the world that the kingdom of God has come near and that it is here with us. I think perhaps one of the best ways of expressing what's happened is there are two mountaintop experiences in the scripture. One is Moses. And one is Jesus and a few of his disciples that go to the top of a mountain. In both occasions, what we have is the people who've come from the valley and they've gone up the mountain to the mountaintop. And on that mountaintop, a cloud comes down and it covers the top of the mountain. And in that cloud cover, people encounter and speak to God. Whether it's Moses speaking to God face to face and receiving the Ten Commandments, or Jesus being transfigured in front of the disciples and them hearing the voice of God come from the cloud, there's that narrow sliver of creation that for a moment isn't heaven or earth, but heaven and earth. What Jesus is announcing that is in his presence, wherever it is that he happens to be, that has become the mountaintop. That has become that narrow sliver of space that is both simultaneously heaven and earth. And when we as Christians are talking about the fact that the kingdom of heaven has come near, what we're talking about the fact is that each and every one of us, as we carry the Holy Spirit within us, we carry the very kingdom of God with us. Like a little small independent nation that exists just within the boundaries of where we're standing, heaven walks with us. We are the temple of God's Holy Spirit walking among the people of this world. We are literally not just announcing that the kingdom of heaven has come near, we're dragging it with us. Wherever we go is where God's kingdom is. And we share in the same responsibility that the disciples had, which is to take that kingdom with us and to announce to the world that it has come near. And there are tools, same tools. We speak grace, we speak mercy, we speak forgiveness, we speak about God's love, we speak about renewal, we teach people by how we behave and act as God's disciples. So as we are here on this 4th of July weekend, it is worth remembering that we as a nation were built on that purpose. We were built on the purpose of making this world align with the values of the kingdom of heaven. And in doing so, make this a place in which people live in a state of mercy, in a state of renewal, in a state of justness and justice, in a state of liberty. Our founding fathers understood that it would be an uphill battle. They built everything they built with the assumption that they would have to fight against human nature, tooth and claw. Our Constitution is a mess on purpose Our Constitution is designed to make a government that is highly inefficient because it was never designed to be such that our government could be out of the control of the populace. Our Constitution was written with the assumption that human nature being what it is, that we would always have to be pulling it back towards the center, always having to pull it back towards our purpose, and that there would always be forces in our world trying to draw us off of true. But that we were called upon as a citizenry to always pull it back to true. There have been many times in our history when we have been divided on what true means. And I think if you look around in the country that we live in today, we're fairly divided. We need to go back to understand what is the true. The true is our purpose as citizens, to be united. To be united in seeking out that which is best for us as a nation, that which is best for our neighbors that live across the street, across the state, across the country, and to look at and think about the perspective and the lives of others in such a way that we defend them as we defend our own. That is our purpose as a people, is to be united, unified behind a promise of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, freedom and liberty. And we're not always perfect at it. But we keep getting drawn back to the center by that promise that we made in July 4th. And like I told the kids, all the way through like August 2nd, it didn't all happen all at once. But we are called upon by that promise to have a purpose as a nation, to do what is right and to be righteous. The 4th of July reminds us of this on a regular basis, but hopefully it's not the only day of the year that we think about what it means to be unified as a country, to be a nation under God, indivisible, with life, liberty, and justice for all. Because this is what we promise to be. And who we promise to be. We cannot hope to accomplish this goal without God's help. We must rely on our faith. Our founding fathers understood this. They spoke about it incessantly. We must rely on our faith in God. We must rely on our faith in trusting in the direction that Christ sends us. We must rely on that first purpose that Christ gave the 72, which is to announce that the kingdom of heaven has come near and is here. And this is who we, as God's people in this setting, are. Those who announce the freedom that comes from Christ and Christ alone that can enable the freedom that a nation might and should experience. So I say to you all, happy 4th of July. Happy purpose, and may we all live 95, 105, 110 years old, gardening and mentoring, but most importantly, living out our purpose for the gospel of Jesus Christ to announce the kingdom has come. And when we live in that purpose, we truly live fully. Amen.